flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's going on, y'all? Good morning on this day, Thursday, February 6th. This is your Clap Your Hands Morning Sixers Update, giving you all the Sixers news you need to know, as well as what to keep your eye on for the day. I come to you guys after a loss last night, what we feared, the Sixers dropping a tough one to the Miami Heat last night, 108-101 at the Wells Fargo Center, after barely defeating the incomplete Dallas Mavericks on Tuesday. It was, you know, kind of foreseeing that the Sixers would struggle against the Heat and maybe even drop that one last night on the second leg of a back-to-back. That's exactly what they did. We will break that down in just a second, but appreciate you starting your day with me, James Jackson, and this Clap Your Hands Morning Sixers Update. Make sure you're following me and the podcast on Twitter at JimmyJ23. For myself, at Clap Your Hands Pod. For the podcast, we have more Sixers basketball this week. There's more to come. Hope and maybe, I won't say hopefully, because I'm not really hoping for anything, but and maybe we will have even more news to break down as the NBA trade deadline continues to be one of the more wild ones we've seen in recent memory with all these moves going down. The Sixers not making one of the biggest moves in the league, but not staying pat and not staying silent themselves. Also break that down in just a second. I'll go through the agenda of the Daily Pods. I'll go through the schedule, scores around the league, teams we should pay attention to as Sixers fans, injury news, some regular news, because there is news, a lot of it nowadays. And then I will break down that game last night, three takeaways from the Sixers loss to the Miami Heat last night at the Wells Fargo Center. The schedule is this: two more games this week for the Sixers. Tomorrow, they go to Detroit. They ended their six-game homestand at home, starting with the Lakers on the 28th, right? So a win against the Lakers, a win against the Kings, losses to the Nuggets and the Celtics, a win against the Mavs, and a loss against the Heat. So that is what a 3-3 record, splitting the homestand at home. You wanted to see the Sixers do a little bit better in that homestand, but splitting it and getting some good wins, we will take, and then we will take that on the road now for these two games to play the Detroit Pistons on Friday, tomorrow at 7, and that, or 7:30, and then play the Bucks Sunday at 2. Look, I know we're all in Super Bowl preparation on Sunday. That's a 2 o'clock game. If you are already at your Super Bowl watching destination, if you have already kind of made your food or ordered food or you're in and settled, why not kick on the Sixers, right? Why not watch, you know, little 2 to 4:30, right? Right, 2 to 5, maybe right before the game, and then you just flip right over. You got an hour and a half of Super Bowl preview and Super Bowl coverage. Why don't we say, you know, we all watch our Sixers on Sunday. We will see. That's the schedule. Tomorrow versus the Pistons at 7:30. Sunday against the Bucks at 2. We'll see if the Sixers can start this road trip and, you know, deal with this road trip pretty well. And maybe we'll go 2-0 over the weekend. Let's get to some scores around the league, some teams we should pay attention to as Sixers fans, because even though the Sixers lost last night, the rest of the league helped them out with teams either right above them or right below them, and you know, help the Sixers out and beat those teams as well. First one was the Cavs beating the Detroit Pistons in a wild one. Darius Garland hits a buzzer beater from literally midcourt, like right inside the midcourt line, hits a three-point buzzer beater to beat the Pistons 118 to 115. Evan Mobley was the leading scorer for the Cavs, though, 30 points, 9 rebounds, and 7 assists. Darius Garland poured in 25 points, 3 rebounds, and 5 assists himself. They got 13 off the bench from Ty Jerome and 16 from Craig Porter Jr., who I believe that's the first time I'm saying his name all season. So shout out Craig, top flight security in the world, Craig. He came up. He got 16 off the bench. The Cavs 17-6 away record. The Pistons, it's a little bit of wind in their sails, man. They've been playing really well. Now dropped to one game under 500 after losing to the best team in the NBA. But they shouldn't hang their heads, right? They're really still playing really ahead of schedule. 38 points, 9 assists, 7 rebounds for Cade Cunningham. Jalen Durant had just 8 points, but did have 10 rebounds, a plus 4 in the box score. Tim Hardaway Jr., 20 points, 3 rebounds, and 1 assist for him. He had a good game, but just not enough all around the board from the Pistons. They shoot just 32% from 3, 40% from the field, and allow the Cavs to shoot 42% from 3, 48% from the field, and come out with a win. The Cavs get a big win, their 41st win of the season, as we are just now on the other side of the 50-game mark of the season. That was the 51st game for the Cavs and 51st game as well for the Pistons. So right up on the other side of the 50-game mark for a lot of these teams in the association, including the Bulls, who lost in Minnesota 127-108 as the Timberwolves started to turn things around, and Ant-Man hit that button and grew, you know, 50 feet tall and was crazy for the Wolves. 49 points, 9 rebounds, 3 assists. Shot very well from the field, 2-13-28, 49 points on 28 shots. Is not bad at all. 49 points or 28 shots is not bad at all. He got 22 points and 10 rebounds from Naz Reid. Wolves, 4 out of 5 starters in double figures, including 12 off the bench from Nikhil Alexander Walker. So a good win for the Timberwolves. The Bulls did get all 5 starters in double figures, but just got 20 from Kobe White was the highest scoring output for them. Josh Giddey came in with 19 points. Lonzo Ball did not play last night, but just inked himself a brand new deal from the Chicago Bulls, a 2-year deal. When a lot of people thought that Lonzo Ball would be on the buyout market, he's going to be staying in Chicago for the next 2 years. So shout out Zoe. I don't care where he signs. The fact that he got 2 more years guaranteed in the league is great for Zoe. So shout out to Lonzo Ball. Good for the Bulls, but they do lose to the Timberwolves 127-108. And then the Spurs eke out a win in Atlanta 126-125. Everyone thought this would be a game that Trae Young might come up with heroics from the Hawks again, but it was De'Aaron Fox shining in his first game as a Spur. Hit 24 points and was very good. Victor Wembanyama hit a free throw with about 2.4 seconds left to edge out a victory for the Spurs. A clutch free throw from him. All 5 starters in double figures for the Spurs, 15 from Jeremy Sochan off the bench, 11 for dunk contest representative Stephon Castle. We will see what he's bringing tomorrow or next weekend in NBA All-Star weekend, but 11 points for him off the bench and a pretty good output for the Spurs all around the board. 24 apiece from De'Aaron Fox and Victor Wembanyama. Chris Paul, 11 points. Him and De'Aaron Fox are going to be starting for the rest of the season for the foreseeable future. So we'll see how that works for the Spurs. 30 points for Big O and Yuka Okongwu. 30 points, 12 rebounds for him for the Hawks. 32 points and 12 assists for Trae Young. The Hawks got 4 out of 5 starters and double figures themselves, but was not enough to get the win. They lose by 1 to the San Antonio Spurs at home. So shout out the Spurs for helping out the Sixers and their cause just a little bit. Let's go to the full Eastern Conference standings. We'll see where the Sixers sit. They're still in that 11th spot, still a game out. So they couldn't take advantage of the Bulls losing, the Hawks losing, and the Pistons all losing last night. That is the worst case scenario. All three of those play-in teams that the Sixers are chasing lost. The Magic did win. Magic got themselves a win, who are right now that eighth seed, right? They got a win in Sacramento 130 to 111. So they're the only play-in team that won. But the Pistons, the eighth seed, the Hawks, the ninth seed, and the Bulls, the 10th seed, especially the Hawks and the Bulls. If there's a night the Hawks and the Bulls lose, the Sixers really have to take advantage of that and try to get a victory to move up in the standings. But still a game behind the Bulls for that 10th and final play-in spot. They are 4.5 games behind the Pistons for that 7th and 1st play-in spot. And now, after the loss to the Heat, 5.5 behind the Heat for that 6th and final playoff spot. That 5 games, 5 is the number for me. 5 is the ultimate barometer at this point in the season. If there are under 5 games back of any team, to me, with about, you know, 30 some odd games left, I believe they can catch them. If they're above 5 games, that just looks, it looks like a big hill to climb. It looks too daunting of a task for a Sixers team that has a tough time stringing wins together. So with 5.5 behind the Heat, the 6th spot is, you know, kind of not in my sights right now. That 9 and 10 spot still is. I was on WIP last night with Sean Bell, and I said over the airwaves that I believe that this Sixers team will not let themselves fall out of a play-in scenario, that I believe they will continue to stay within that game spot and then ultimately look to make a move to that 9th or 10th seed in the play-in when it's all said and done. I just think there was too much coming into this season to let it bottom out and not have any type of postseason scenario. And I don't think the Sixers will really let that happen to themselves. And that's also lost, right? Creating about a 3.5 game distance between them and the Brooklyn Nets right now. So they got a little cushion to move to that 12 spot. But that 10 spot is very much, you know, still up for grabs, still in sights for the Sixers. Not much injury updates to have. Joel Embiid did go through pregame shoot-around last night, even though he was ruled out before the game even started. He was ruled out right after Tuesday's game, so no one really expected him to play. Nick Nurse did say that he looked good. He woke up feeling good, Joel did, that Nick Nurse's hopes is that he's ready to go, quote-unquote, for the next one, which would be tomorrow night against the Pistons. Paul George provided a little update about how he's feeling with his pinky and says that he's going to have to wear that splint for the next 6 weeks at least. He expects himself to get used to it, but right now it is very much kind of bothering him and ailing him. You can see that with the shooting performance. I'll break that down in just a second, but just a little bit of an update Paul George provided for us. And then some regular news. Let's get on with it, because the NBA trade deadline has been the best it's been in recent memory. And although the Sixers aren't making headlines, they are getting involved in the party. After trading away Caleb Martin on Tuesday to the Dallas Mavericks, they are now trading KJ Martin to the Detroit Pistons. So the Sixers played the Mavericks on Tuesday and engaged in a trade with them. They play the Pistons on Friday and engaged in a trade with them on Wednesday. Coincidence, I'm sure, but for these two teams, like, if KJ wants to travel to Detroit with the Sixers and kind of just stay there, he could. If Caleb wanted to leave with the Mavericks on Tuesday, he could have. It's just very coincidental, very convenient who the Sixers are trading with, but they are sending KJ Martin and 2 second-round draft picks to the Detroit Pistons, and it is yet to be determined what the Pistons are sending back to the Sixers. As long as it's not Tobias Harris, I think we're all going to be good with it. But this is a more salary cap relief for the Sixers, as was the Caleb Martin trade to get Quentin Grimes in here. Not only will the Sixers be sending KJ Martin and 2 draft picks, but the Pistons will be absorbing KJ Martin's $5 million salary for this season, freeing up even more space for Daryl Morey and the Sixers to make some kind of move by the 3 p.m. deadline today or in the offseason once the season is over. So a lot of people thought KJ Martin was pretty safe from something like this, considering that he was playing pretty well this season. But if this trade deadline has shown anybody anything, nobody is safe. And if there's a move to be made to try to improve your roster, the owners and GMs are willing to make any move nowadays to make that happen. So KJ Martin out of the door, along with Caleb Martin, and maybe the Sixers aren't done. Like I said, 3 p.m. today is the trade deadline, and we will see if there are moves. I'm recording this at about 8 a.m. This morning, so I apologize if by the time you're hearing this, there are moves that are made that I did not report, but I will get to everything tomorrow morning if there are moves that I did not report. But Sixers are involved in a trade deadline that has given us a lot of entertainment. Not only Luka to the Lakers and De'Aaron Fox to the Spurs, but yesterday we got Jimmy Butler to the Warriors as part of a 5-16 deal that saw Brandon Ingram go to the Raptors too. Kyle Kuzma go to the Milwaukee Bucks. Kyle Anderson was looking like he was going to go to the Raptors. That fell through. They're trying to make it a way for him to go to the Miami Heat. There's a lot of things, a lot of moving parts going on. Chris Middleton, as part of that Kyle Kuzma deal to the Bucks, went to the Wizards. I mean, it is a wild NBA trade deadline. The league looks vastly different than it did even a week ago. It's what a lot of people wanted to see. They said there's a ratings issue. Adam Silver said we're fixing that today. Don't you worry. I'm going to take a break. On the other side of this break, we're going to break down that game last night, a tough loss to the Miami Heat at the Wells Fargo Center. And I'll tell y'all how it went down and what stood out to me in that loss. Stay tuned. Welcome back, y'all. Trying to recover from a tough loss last night to the Miami Heat at the Wells Fargo Center, 108-101. Sixers did their best to try to hang in at the very end. Ultimately, defensive rebounds, offensive rebounds for the Heat, defensive rebounds for the Sixers. Poor shooting performance and not being able to really capitalize in transition are the biggest reasons Sixers lost that game. Let's get to my three takeaways from that loss last night to the Miami Heat. I kind of just summed up my first one in that little opening sentence that I just had. Sixers looked like it was the second leg of a back-to-back for them, and it did not look like that for the Miami Heat. It did look like that for the execution of the Heat. The Heat turned the ball over 22 times. The Sixers forced the Heat to turn over the ball 22 times, I should say. But where the Sixers lacked, in energy was one from the three-point line. All shots looked short last night, and they really shot pretty poorly last night in the game against the Heat. It really was the ultimate deciding factor to me in the game. They shot 38% from the field. They shot just 30% from three, 12 of 40 from three, 37 of 96 from the field, right? They shot 13 more shots than the Heat from the field. Most of the time you do that, you win the game unless you shoot a really bad percentage like the Sixers did last night. Also, one of the biggest tells that the Sixers were tired, right? 22 turnovers they forced from the Heat, but only 25 points off of those 22 turnovers, just 14 fast break points. So of 22 turnovers, right, that's 66 total points you can get off of those turnovers, right? 3 points for every turnover is possible, right? Just 25 of those 66 total points off of the turnovers, and just 14 of those coming on in transition, coming on the fast break. So they were turning the Heat over, were too tired to get out in front of them with the transition points being like that, and were just too tired to really take advantage of that and really get on the front foot and out in front of the Heat. So that, and then getting owned on the glass. I talked about yesterday how I was a little worried about not having our top two rebounders in, being the second leg of a back-to-back, and also dealing with athletic and kind of young and energetic bigs that the Heat have with Bam Adebayo and Khalil Ware, who's been playing very well. Well, Khalil Ware didn't score a point last night, but had 13 rebounds. Guess who also had 13 rebounds? Bam Adebayo, right? 8-0 boards for Bam Adebayo as well. So it was the rebounding disparity that really got the Sixers. 6 rebounds for Jaime Hawkins Jr., 5 rebounds apiece from Nikola Jovic and Terry Rozier. A lot of people on the glass for the Heat, and the Sixers just weren't able to keep them off the glass with the combination of, Gorshan Yabusele and Adem Bona. It was, it's just very hard. And I kind of saw that coming into the game, and it very much manifested itself. So tired legs for the Sixers. It showed up in a lot of places, and that was ultimately the deciding factor of the game last night. My second big takeaway has to do with Paul George and how he looked returning from injury with that pinky split. It was tough go at it for Paul George last night, right? Had just 9 points on just 3-11 from the field. Shot 50% from three, 3-6. Hit a couple of big threes too when it mattered, but overall just didn't give the output that we kind of wanted to see on the offensive end, a minus 12 in the box score. I will say this though, active and engaged on defense. A lot of us were wondering with that pinky, how much he was going to want to, you know, kind of stick his hand in, you know, contest shots, poke at the ball. You might be a little hesitant with a splint on that pinky, and it didn't seem like he was still able or willing to kind of get in there, realize where they were in the disparity in the height and bigs, and try to play a little big. Only had one rebound, but, you know, tried to stay in there, try to give his best effort on the defensive end. So that was noted. I saw that. On the offensive end, though, clearly that splint and that pinky was bothering him. I don't know if the injury itself is bothering him or it's more the fact that he has a big splint on that pinky. I know it's his non-shooting hand, but that's going to affect the guy hand. It's going to affect, you know, how you feel with the ball. It's going to affect a lot of things. He did say that he expects for himself to get used to the splint soon. So hopefully we won't continue to see the struggling from shooting from Paul George. But last night, it definitely was there. And I think I told this to Sean Bell on the air last night, too. I think of all the people, you know, being affected by being in and out of the lineup, I do think Paul George is one of the, if not the most, like I know Embiid, he's affected by his knee, but Embiid came out and got a 30-point triple-double in his first game back. So he's adjusting to being in the lineup and what, you know, he has to do to produce. Paul George was already coming into this season having to adjust his role to being different to what he's ever been this season, right? A third option on offense at times, having to be, you know, really a role player and a supportive star. Twofold, right? And he said he was willing to do that, but it's not easy. And then now pluck him and his co-stars out of the lineup on a consistent basis. And that's tough, right? Not really knowing what role you're going to have to be on a given night and now having to deal with the injuries that he's had to deal with all season, right? You know, two bone bruises to the same knee, a fractured pinky. Like, these aren't light injuries that he's had to deal with. So we'll see how PG progresses. Hopefully he gets used to that splint. But last night, you could clearly see it's bothering him. And so we should expect for a couple of games of, you know, Paul George to kind of get back into the rhythm, back into the.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
Swing of things. My last takeaway last night is the Sixers really need a 3-and-D win. I see they try to address that by going and getting Quentin Grimes, but I'm just reading kind of the body language and the energy from Nick Nurse when he's asked about Quentin Grimes last night. You know, he says he, you know, expects him to be a good floor spacer for us, also a guy who's kind of willing to be engaged on the defensive end and willing to give the energy that we require on the defensive end. So hopefully he can be good for us. That's it. Like, I don't know if the Sixers have big plans for Quentin Grimes, to be honest, but I can understand the type of player they're looking to go get with that trade, a solid 3-and-D wing. The also coveted but hard to find 3-and-D guy in the NBA, because the Sixers are one of the worst three-point shooting teams in the league, but when they shoot a good three-point percentage, they win games. Right? When they were going through that four-game win streak, they shot the ball nearly 40% from three and above in each of those games, right? When they lose games, they shoot the ball, like last night, 30% from three. It's pretty telling, you know, what helps them get to wins and what's not. And then on the other end, the Sixers have shown a huge inability to guard the perimeter and guard opposing guards on the other team. I've talked about it a couple of times, how it seems like there's an opposing guard on the opposite end that goes off every night. Last night was Tyler Hero, right? 30.7 rebounds, 7 assists for Tyler Hero. There was a stretch where it seemed like dude couldn't miss in the third quarter. 5 of 11 from 3, 11 for 20 from the field. So it proved itself last night, and as good as Maxey is on the offensive end, they have to hide him in the corner on the defensive end because, you know, he gets attacked. And now with losing Caleb Martin, you lose a guy who was really tenacious on the defensive end and able to guard one through three, even sometimes a small 1-4 if it really mattered. So they need to replace that, and badly, because Sixers – you know, can shoot a little bit better, right? They can play a little bit better interior defense. They can get out and run and transition a little better. If they cannot guard and cannot guard the perimeter, they're not going to do themselves any favor in trying to get back into the play and into the swing of things in the Eastern Conference. So those are my three big takeaways from the loss last night. Sixers looking tired and spent, and it's showing up in a lot of places. Paul George really struggling with that splint and having to adjust and get used to that. And the Sixers need for a 3-and-D wing. I know it was one of the focal points of the offseason. It is now a focal point again, as the trade deadline is about T-minus 6 hours away now. As we, you know, get into this Thursday. That's all the time I have for today. I will be back tomorrow to break down the Pistons game and maybe update you more on a Sixers NBA trade deadline. But until then, I will see everybody in 24 hours.